Another interesting shot at Cohen Meanderer. I'm Yasson Ben David HaKohen, otherwise known as Jason Demero, and I've just listened to a recent talk by President Oaks. At the time was a counselor in the first presidency. Unless something different happens, he is expected to be the president of the church shortly. Not that that adds to or takes away from anything he's saying. Talking about the degrees of glory. And doing it in no uncertain terms. Which I appreciate very much. Sometimes when you hear from religious leaders of whatever stripe, they tend to get mushy in the desire to be loving and to appeal to all people. Now the problem is many of these things get projected on Christ, which I think is a really bad idea. It smacks of taking the Lord's name in vain, which is to say you are a Christian leader, or to take upon yourself that mantle and then not preach Christ. I've slowly been reading the Book of Mormon, and as I stumble onto insights, not all of them, as I stumble onto the insights, I'll often do a little blog post or talk about them on recordings. And as I have been slowly proceeding through this, I have seen a much more, I don't want to use too nasty words, but a much more demanding Savior. As I listened to President Oaks talk, says the for lack of a better word, the demandedness of Christ, the giving of many commandments and the punishments done, you would swear from most modern Christians, and I'm sad to say, vocal members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we hear the Jesus love whitewash. This was made all the more for, we had just had a friend who had died, so we're having their funeral. And, you know, funerals are supposed to praise up and down the person being honored. And as I think of it now, I think the general consensus around most people is that if somebody's good, they're going to go to heaven. This is probably the biggest trouble is, Latter-day Saints don't talk like they even believe in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, that they really don't have much of a testimony of it. President Oaks said, he started describing the terrestrial kingdom, and he said that this was what most people believe heaven is like. place of eternal rest. Reward for being a good person. It is. It says, but there's more available now, you know. How dare we speak of the possibility of more? The whole point of Christianity is to teach you that you are nothing like God, that God is kind, that God, and it's true, Christ condescended to come to earth, although he needed to, it was necessary. So to be honest, I don't know where the concept of condescension comes from, except from later, revisions, maybe those creedal revisions of scripture. So I don't use the condescension term much at all. Christ had to come down, be tried and tested, go through earth life. His baptism was required because that was required for him to go to where he wanted to go. And that was important. Christ was a great example for us, but he wasn't some kind of strange, detached, Superman sort of example for us, which I think a whole lot of people foist on him. Not only did Jesus walk on water, he said everybody could, if they had faith enough to do so. But that he is some kind of, like I said, Superman that can fly through the air, that can do all kinds of other things. Maybe faith can make that possible too. I have no idea, but that does not make him intrinsically separate from us. It makes us more like him. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Too many people cower, mumbling loudly enough so that other people can hear, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. And is Jesus wonderful to save me? And you're going, I don't think that's even the idea that Jesus has. That's almost beating yourself up and saying that you can never be better than you are. And it's like, stop saying that. You can be better than you are. We all can be better than you are. There's plenty of room for growth. Boy, I was just thinking that this morning. As I often get up a little earlier than everybody, not get up, I often am awake earlier than anybody else, and I read a little, and it's often my prayer time. I pray to Heavenly Father. And this morning, lots of things came up to say, you need to do better with this, and better with this, and better with this, and better with this. I go, okay. To think that you're doing okay, to think that you don't have any room for improvement. Remember, part of this life is to waste and wear out our lives in service to God. And that's done in mostly serving other people. Basically, the thing is that once you're done, you should be tired and you should have said, boy, did I earn this rest. Don't do a lot of your resting in mortality. It's not interesting. People go to the doctor a whole lot. Of course, he's saying, well, you need to rest more. You need to do this, you need to do that. You know, for longevity, God's longevity program is simply this. Be his servant. Wear out your life. You should, I remember the story of missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They'd come home with worn out shoes for all of the walking and all the stuff that they had done. in a like manner, our bodies should be worn out at the end of our sojourn. And that God's health plan for all of this is that if you're working hard on His things, if you're doing the things that He wants you to do, He will give you added strength, added length of life, if it's His will. These things are all predicated on His will. He will give you a long and relatively healthy life. Makes me think of that Star Trek thing. Spock used to say the kind of saying said to one another at greetings or at partings or something like that, usually partings, which is live long and prosper. Which very much what God will do for us, it said. Go out and do what needs to be done. Serve other people. Thank you. I have resources, especially at this time, to go and do temple work on a regular basis. So I do. And this is something that many people cannot do. The people who have already passed on can't do their own temple work. Many people who have limited incomes and limited resources, time, energy, stuff like that, and struggle to do these things. I recall many of the people that used to be regulars at the temple, that used to be regulars at the temple and have since stopped being regulars at the temple are not able to for one reason or another. One assumes it would be health reasons, but you never know. So that's always interesting. You know, it's almost a time of life thing. And I've reached that time of life where I can do this more often. And it's a joy. It's wonderful. But I know that there are a certain number of people, some of them among them, avowed Christians, which one has to be careful that you don't take the Lord's name in vain, although we all do to a certain extent. It's how much we take His name in vain by saying, I'm a Christian, and you go, then you are not being as astute with the Lord's commandments. I'll say the Lord Jesus Christ's commandments. And you could be. Please know that Jesus strove for and attained exaltation, the exaltation that God enjoys. We can enjoy with Him. I don't want to make this some kind of mystical thing. I'm a very practical person. And that there are practical reasons and practical explanations for everything. Ultimately. We may not know them yet, but they're all there. The power of faith goes largely untapped by everyone. Jesus could walk on water. If you have tried this, you probably have failed. And in that being so, there is, Jesus Christ said it. You're lacking faith. The ability to be a God, which I think is tied mostly to trust, which I think is just a redefinition of faith. That this particle and that particle trust you, that take your leadership, that things will do God's will. That's what makes a God, the things that do God's will. And it's out of trust. I trust God the Father that his plan that he has set up, we call it the plan of salvation sometimes, will get us to where we would like to be. Whether it's hell or heaven or exaltation. It is available to us. But the question is whether you really want it or not. As displayed by your actions. People will often say, well, you know, it has to do with the desires of your heart, too. And they go, I think the desires of your heart only kicks in if your time, if your life is somehow shortened by something. You can get hit by a car. You know, something can drop on your head. And those are dramatic, but still. I said, everyone knows that our desires are expressed through our actions. Embellished by the whole idea of talk is cheap. Which is, you can say a lot of things. Oh, I'm a wonderful person. I do this, and I do this, and I do this. And at the end of the day, it really ends up being what your actions are. In fact, I think better wisdom would say, you know, it's the whole thing about not trumpeting your service, your accomplishments particularly. Much better just to thank everyone. Thank your spouse, especially they have to put up with you the most. And your God, who at least for me does most of the heavy lifting. And then go get back to work. It's putting yourself out there. Making such things happen. I worry that our Christian friends codify lowness and codify, and that's it, you know. Jesus' grace rescues us. And what you're saying is, you know, you don't have to put forth particular effort. You get to say I'm a bad person. I hope that when I say that I'm a bad person, it's because I say it because society, I'm not doing what society wants done. And I'm a bad example that way. I had 6 kids. Some of you had more. Some have less. It says, but we went through it. And, you know, raising a child may be harder at this time. I really don't know. I don't think it's really relevant to measure it. I don't want to spend any time trying to figure out if my parents had it better or worse than I had. As children, better prospects of marriage, and an easier go of child raising, or child bearing even. Well, it cost less to have kids back then. Certainly that's so. I don't know if we have crossed that pendulum of wonderful things to make it so that births are less feared. In the past, many women died in childbirth. In the past, many babies did not survive through childhood. And that this was difficult. These were difficult trials to face. And modern medicine has done much to make this work much better. On some level, it would be easy for me to say that we've probably gotten too anal about these things to the point to where childbirth is an extremely expensive quasi-surgical procedure. Point to where, for many people, childbearing and rearing are tasks best left to the wealthy and to the extremely poor through subsidies. We actually subsidize our poor people to the point to where they can do things that the working class says they can't afford to do. And I'm not saying that's untrue. It requires you to put priorities in place. You're not going to have a nice house with a white picket fence. You're not going to have a nice car or maybe two or three cars. You're not going to have these things unless you're rich, relatively speaking. Or only poor people can afford that because they can get all the prenatal, full pregnancy and postnatal care, basically for free, along with various stipends for many things. Regardless, I didn't want to get into that kind of conversation. But it does come from the whole thing about priorities. Very much, I've been working on marriage and family, marriage then family. An important distinction. Get married first. Don't get so weird about marriage. Don't make it a requirement that you have to be just infatuated. Sexually and emotionally, spiritually enthralled. Life is long enough that if that's what you depend on, you're probably not going to, your marriage isn't going to last. And that ends up being indicative. God, whom we call Heavenly Father, or God the Father, is a couple. You know, and Latter-day Saints take a lot of grief and chiding for the Heavenly Mom, the Heavenly Mother. What are you going to do about them? And then there's the whole freakiness of some people praying to Heavenly Mother or something like that. Please don't. When you're talking to Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother is there. They are together. They are one. The kind of oneness that we're supposed to get here. The kind of oneness, cleaving, that the Bible speaks of. And I'm sorry to say that those who tend to ignore the Old Testament except as cute little stories and don't recall that largely the Old Testament is where we come to understand God's relationship with man. The New Testament is too short of documents to give us very many examples at all. We have to turn to Tanakh, the Torah and the prophets. We have to turn to them for examples of God's dealings with prophets, for God's dealings with governments, for God's dealings with all kinds of things, and for how we should approach this. Acknowledge the children of Israel, and more lately the Jews, for holding this record together for us for so long. Now I honor the Christians for their time with the baton of keeping it going. Although, can I say, it's getting, this is a nasty term, but their clutch on the baton is getting quite limp-wristed, my dear friends. And I will say that. And if that offends certain sensibilities, tough luck. I don't want to go too much farther in that direction. The point of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the restored gospel of Jesus Christ that animates it, the authoritative creation of it by Jesus Christ through men endowed with the priesthood. All these things bound together are what make the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And those who attend it should not think anything but that the Church will push constantly for the ideal of exaltation, which involves the new and everlasting covenant of eternal marriage and the sealing of families together. And you'll see, and to make this happen, you have to do the baseline things. You have to marry. Now, the better you marry, the more likely it is you're going to have that eternal marriage. Not just from the aspect that that you've gone to a temple and had that blessing, had that ordinance pronounced on you. No, it actually has to do with doing the day-to-day, to call it gut work, of making a marriage last. Not just through life, but into the eternities. That this isn't some magic pixie fairy dust particularly. Although God blesses your efforts in doing this. And that could be construed as some kind of wonderful spiritual fairy dust. You can look at it that way. I don't think it's totally inappropriate to do that. But then it's practical of staying together, of doing what needs to be done, of not making life with you a horror show. And I mean that for both women and for men. We always pick on the men quite hard. Oh, it's always their fault. I hope you ladies understand that there are plenty of harpies among us who attend to, who work. Well, I'm not going to say. You guys know who you are. You know what you're doing. I deserve better than you. And you go, wow. So this is, can I be honest? I don't think I deserve anything. If I deserve anything, it's hell and pain and torture. And if we're going to talk about what one deserves, oh my. And that should bring gratitude for blessings. And I hope to be more grateful for the multitude of blessings that I enjoy. I think that's all I need to say on this particular junction. Let me leave you with the blessings of my fathers. Blessing instructed by God to Aaron and his descendants. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace.